Okay, welcome to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. I'm Susan Pinsky, and I'm here today with a special Halloween week podcast with Jack Rourke in the house, medium, and also Rebecca Fearing, our most beloved medium du jour. Okay. I want to introduce my co-host today, who is the lovely and talented Heather McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
I love her.
One person clapped.
I love her. And we have a guest in the house as well, comic Theo Vaughn, who I just met, and he's a pretty hot piece of ass over here.
I'm so okay looking. I'm at best an eight.
Yeah.
So today I did say you do look cuter today than the last time I saw you.
Thank you. I appreciate you telling me that, actually.
And the two of them are friends. They've met before, worked together on a comedy special with Howie Mandel.
Right, no, a new show that Theo is hosting, and I just was a guest star. But it's what's it called?
It's called Deal With It. It's on Friday nights on TBS.
Yeah.
Very
so
fun.
I'm thrilled to have the two of you here because Heather was a guest previously on our show, and we were able to bring in her grandmother,
yes,
and Reverend Jim into our Calling Out studios when we were over at the Corolla Digital
right.
Network.
Yes.
Seems so long ago. It was about a year ago, actually.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you had a really good reading by Cindy Kaza.
I
was really excited. I was listening to it, and you said something funny to me last week, which was not kind of funny, but it was kind of funny. But you
well, I said I wasn't that close to my grandmother, and she died when I was 11, and that's who they talked to. But my dad passed in March, so I was like kind of excited to come on because now I have like a new dead person in my life, and I haven't had anybody read me or anything since he passed in March, and I dream about him a lot, and I'm excited to see if you guys
yeah
can
so
talk
we're
to him
we're
for
hoping
me.
For that and then
yeah.
wow. and then Theo
no it's Theo.
Theo is but. Well I have a nephew named Theo. I'm sorry.
I think you just have a list.
Theo is is also into talking about murders. You like murders, right?
I've always been people get murdered every day, and I feel like a lot of it gets, you know, there's not enough chatter about it.
I don't know. That he has a special interest in that. So, yeah. So, anyways, I just wanted to see if we could get started and give you a reading here today with Rebecca and Jack. And
well, I work on crime cases. And in fact, one of the departments, homicide departments, asked me if I would work with them, especially when I said I wouldn't charge them.
Wow.
So I have been. I'm pretty good at crime. But I look for evidence, because you can say to somebody, okay, Richard did it, but I heard from a homicide detective that's not enough, because married couples have mixed DNA. So you have to get really factual, and I have helped solve a crime already, one that's pretty notable. So, but I'm working on another one right now.
Can you not tell us what it is?
Yeah, it was, I dreamt about this.
You might not want to get too specific, because what happens is when, as a sensitive person, I'm sure you know this, but I'm just saying this for the audience and for those out there who may be interested in doing the kind of work that we do, is that working with law enforcement gives the appearance of sort of overriding habeas corpus and these types of things, and sometimes we can glean information that isn't known to the public, and sometimes it can cause problems where defense attorneys can challenge evidence that would otherwise convict the person and get things thrown out. So be as vague as possible.
You're right about that, because even I would do this not the evidence that I can come up with doesn't go into the courtroom because they won't believe you anyway. But the one that's already been solved it's already been done, was he came to me in a dream and he said, "Hello, Rebecca," and he was burnt like a piece of charred chicken, so I didn't know who he was. And then I dreamt about the whole entire murder, and finally I found out who he was, because he was somebody that I did know, and his mother knew me, and as a clairvoyant, so I heard that her son was murdered, and then I was able to give them all the details that I knew of because of the dream. And the detectives came in, and one was skeptical, one was very religious, but I was born and raised Catholic. It's not just because you're a psychic doesn't mean you're a devil worshiper,
right?
Okay. So anyway, they came back. I gave them a lot of information that turned out to be true, and they said they would have solved the crime 4 months earlier if they had taken me seriously.
Isn't that great?
So, yeah.
Now, Jack, do you guys feel, and I mean, do you guys feel like actual human beings, or do you guys feel like kind of like liaisons between like information that isn't like readily available to everyone, you know, since you guys are, you know, in the world of being able to be clairvoyants?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure I understand your question. You mean when we're accessing information, do we feel like it's coming from a specific person, or do we feel like it's coming from some sort of
like every
source
day
of information?
Like every day, do you feel like a regular human, or do you feel like kind of like a middle ground between,
right,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
or
no,
like
I do. No, you've made it more clear for me. That's actually a great, great question, because by and large, what you have is, I don't know if you've experienced this, mm-hmm, Rebecca, but mm-hmm, the rank and file sensitive, especially for young people, or people who are young to extrasensory perception, they oftentimes applaud themselves for their hypersensitivity or their high level of empathy, when in actuality it's a drain on the nervous system and it can be very taxing. And you'll find that a lot of people who identify as psychic have stress-related illness, fibromyalgia, weight problems, you know, pains in the joints, these types of things. And that comes from the tax on the nervous system, you know, arguably. You know, we can't say that for facts, but, you know, anyway, so what you'll find is that during the course of development is that sensitives will ignore things like boundaries or ignore things, ignore spiritual practices that enhance their ability to own their individuality and not have that hypersensitivity or not unconsciously engage with another person's psyche or the environment, because there's a fear that sort of reining oneself in that way dampens or destroys extrasensory perception, when what it does is it facilitates something called attunement. And attunement is really a lost art that is largely misunderstood in development circles in this country. And the English have gotten very good at sort of teaching attunement. And really that's just the art of shifting awareness between the here and now and the extrasensory perceiving faculties.
Okay.
And when you sort of shift on, you're sourcing information outside of your mind. And when you shift back, you should be able to conduct yourself like any other person without the dramatics of heightened sensitivity or the emotional sort of complexities and problems that come with that. So,
do you guys ever think of you guys selves as like an old timey Google, kind of like, not in a bad way, but like, you know, where you can like search, you know?
Well, my story is quite unusual. I started in the entertainment business. I was being discovered by the Strasburgs, and God said to me, "Don't do it, Rebecca. You're going to be washed up movie star when you're 50. So I listened, and he said, "I'll put you in the media when you turn 50. And I'm like, 50? I was like 18, 19. Like, that's old, okay? But you know what? For some reason, I knew it to be true, so I quit. I worked in a liquor store. Believe it or not, I've drove a forklift. I worked as a nanny. I've scrubbed toilets, okay? But every step of the way, somebody said to me, a stranger, "Hey, lady, one day you're going to be a well-known psychic and healer." And guess what? I would start laughing so bad.
Right.
Okay. But I ended up doing that when I was 34, when my son was born. And it was true. I started in the entertainment business again when I was 50. I had my own radio show now for almost 7 years. And I have
so
had, you
started to realize your gift at 34.
No, I started it at the beginning of my life. I've always been psychic.
But when did you start, like, actually
acknowledging it?
And talking to people and helping people?
Well, I guess I was always doing that. They used to call me bewitched at school when I was young. Mm-hmm. But I would ignore it for the most part. I mean, anybody that knew me as a child experienced paranormal. I have extreme paranormal activity in my life. And then when I was 34, I told God, "Okay, look, I have my son. I don't want anybody watching my baby."
Mm-hmm.
And I got offered a job on Kenny Kingston Psychic Hotline.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there. I was 9 months pregnant. I've told this story many times. And I was like, "Oh, my God, what am I doing?
I remember that Kenny Kingston guy.
But it was so embarrassing.
Was it good?
Oh, no, he was like great. He would hang around the comedy store, too.
Yeah.
Like, "Now, let me ask you this."
He sounds like a pedophile.
No, I think that
he was an old-timey.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
Yes. And
it's
I think
sweet spirit. Remember, sweet spirit.
Sweet spirit.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people would do him as like a character.
Maybe we can talk to him today. Could you guys get him in the...
Oh, yeah, because he would be like, Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, he was like, really?
And he was like, why is she... Yeah, like, he was just like... You kind of was like, is this an old woman or an old man? Like, you couldn't tell. Like, and then he would like throw... I remember like being at weird parties and yes.
He was always on Loveline too, many years.
So, but a little... It's funny that you said, was he a pervert? He wasn't. But when I walked in and...
It's always funny to ask if someone was a pervert.
Yeah, goes, my, and that's why I'm not a clairvoyant.
Yeah.
No, right there.
But I was 9 months pregnant. I was like, oh, my God, why am I in here? I feel so sick. I went in and I go, what are those lines over there? Because I'm not working on those lines. There were sex lines. So I'm like, oh, my
Kenny
God.
Kenny Kingston's sex lines?
No. They're in the
told
same
you,
room.
And I'm back.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm back.
I don't know if those
the
are
976 numbers have been replaced by podcasts.
Yeah. There was half psychic lines and half sex lines in the same room. So I never knew, really, if that was part of his deal or not. Once in a while, the lines would get crossed, and that's a whole funny story. But I end up working there, getting really good.
I actually know a very, very famous person in our business who has sold hundreds of thousands of books, who once upon a time worked on a sex line, but another time.
So believe me,
we all have our little secrets
in
there.
But so anyway, that's the story of how I became a psychic, and then everything else, I have no idea how I became so well known. Or I've had many, many paranormal experiences. I've had another one, and I bet you we can bring Marilyn in today.
Oh, I hope so. I love her. She's always around. She wants her own show, Heather.
We can bring.
She wants her own podcast. I swear, she's here all the time.
Very strange things.
That's why she lives in my bedroom in New York.
Yeah.
I love her.
So I have an unusual story. He seems much more book learned than I am in this, and maybe knows more about all of what really goes on. Mine is just by really physical experience. I've seen God. I've seen Jesus 3 times. I always call him the hot Jew because he's really cute and he was never Catholic.
You said I was the hot Jew.
Yeah. You are the hot Jesus, my friend.
Yeah, the H-J, they call him.
Last time I came here, my hair was down. So.
Really?
I just happened to see that movie that was based on the book, Heaven is Real, as a little kid.
And he looks like that painting, except the nose is really like the nose that we see in the Shroud. Blue eyes. The thing that got me, he has thick, dark eyebrows, the olivey skin, sort of your tone, and the sweetest guy ever, like a strong, like almost a sleeper, like a sleeper, like a surfer build, you know, kind of muscular, kind of tall. Yeah, and I've seen him 3 times.
I thought that was an amazing movie.
Yeah,
and book, and
a lot of what he said is real. That's in my world. It
is real.
Yeah. Well, it was, I'll just explain. The coolest part about this kid had like a near-death experience.
Don't tell me the whole movie because I do want to see it.
I'm just telling you the part that's in a trailer.
Okay.
This was the part that was the most profound that made you believe. Anyway, the little kid was 4, and he had an older sister, and he says to the mom, "I met another girl in heaven, the one that used to live in your tummy." And she's like, she had had miscarriage. She never told her son about it. And she's like, what did she look like? And, you know, she said that she used to live in your tummy, and she, you know, and that was the part that...
That was a convincing part.
The
when the mother finally
part.
Believed,
Yeah, that the 4-year-old, like, there's no way the 4-year-old could have known that.
Because it was a big witch hunt before that, like the news
nobody
wanted
was,
to know.
Everybody was like, this is, you're such, like, you're crazy Christians, you're being weird, and you're, you know, and the church was almost embarrassed that it was
your son's making this up, he has imaginary friends.
It's interesting, you know, and when people have those stories, they're very similar. There was this... this doctor, he was like a neuroscientist, he did something with, or he was a famous doctor. Anyway, he had a near-death experience. He was like an atheist, was totally skeptical. And when he went to heaven for that little period of time, this girl comes up to him and she's like, I've been trying to find you. I'm your sister. And he's like, so he comes out and he's like, so weird. I had dreamt that I like had a sister. Anyway, he was adopted and his sister died at 21. And when he found the picture of the sister at 21, it was the woman who had come to him in heaven. Like, it was, it's kind of crazy that both of these stories involved siblings, real siblings, whether that was adopted or a miscarriage, that came to the one that had the short experience in heaven.
Right. So I've seen heaven. So both those stories matched up to what I've seen. I mean, people always ask me, is it just a poof of smoke? I don't know what Jack's experiences are, but they eat Seriously, I have a long story about heaven and why I know so much about it. But anyway, they eat bagels up there. I always say bagels.
Well, they're really, Jews. I mean,
yeah, they're really popular in heaven.
Wait,
it's
only
like
Jews
the upper west side
in heaven.
No.
hot pizzas. They have hot pizzas, and it's a real working world. You go to school. They have good. You know, they have rehabilitation centers. It is a real world.
They have manicures and pedicures, and they're really cheap.
They have
centers?
To. They,
in heaven?
I heard they had the best.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously. I heard
but
that
But I feel like
true.
You're just recreating what we have here. Like, if they have rehabilitation centers,
right. You can't,
like, aren't we past that by the time we get to heaven?
Not always.
Well, Drew will be glad to know that there's rehab centers in heaven. Yeah. So he'll continue to be gainfully employed.
Oh, just what I need. That's when I'm going to get help.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It better be good here. I don't want to go to
I'll wait till I'm in heaven to get help.
I just want to be past all my vices once I get to heaven. That's what I want.
But if you're conscious of them, see, if you die when you're unconscious, instead of like people saying going to hell, God has a program for you to accept, you know, the healing that you didn't accept here. So I don't believe that all people just become like good. I mean, they don't. And some don't even know they're dead. So if you do our work, I mean, I've seen many people at an accident site that didn't know they were dead. So you have to convince them to go into the light, or if you do a haunting, I've done many ghost stories, and those are the ones that raise your hair right on your head. So, you know, I mean, and all of this stuff, I have fact to back it up.
Yeah.
I have phone calls from heaven.
Okay, so let's see if we can...
Do what?
Freak you out.
Me?
Yeah, with a psychic reading.
Yeah.
See if you can become a believer.
I already believe in Jesus Christ,
so
I'm in.
We like skeptics. We really do. We like to sort of fight, you know, the skeptics.
No, Jack can go prove
it. Yeah, so great. Now that
I'm a little bewildered and sort of my head is spinning around from this conversation. So we'll
yeah, it seems...
That's okay. I mean, Jack just met Rebecca. Rebecca has always been on our show, and she's told this story before, but...
She's a real wildcat.
But they're a couple of different type. Mm-hmm. They work in different ways.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'll just see how it goes. Okay. So really, I just want to start by kind of, I'm just going to ramble at you a little bit to be truthful.
I feel like I'm in trouble.
No. You're not in trouble. It's just you're probably actually literally feeling me move in close to, like, energetically move into your personal space. It's very uncomfortable. So you know, just if you don't mind.
Okay.
It's interesting that you say that, because oftentimes, I don't know if you've experienced this, but when you do read someone, it does kind of set off sort of like a proximity alarm if you're not accustomed to it. It feels really like invasive. So as I'm starting to begin to tune into you, I just want to sort of begin to run with this a little bit. But I'm not a doctor, and you and I are just two friends talking, and this is just strictly entertainment, right? So,
right.
You know, I want to talk about your father, actually. I want to talk about your father, and I have... there's a couple things with him. I feel like I want to draw a line right down the middle of his body. For some reason, I'm very conscious of his nose, right? I'm very conscious about behind the nose, in the sinuses, and I feel like maybe his nose is prominent or there's scarring in and on his nose. But I feel like actually in and behind the nose, if at some point in his life, I don't know if he had surgery or some kind of reconstruction or some kind of like something in the sinuses, right? And so with that, I feel like as I kind of go down in with him, and this is, I think will begin to relate to you, is I'm also concerned with him that I'm torn here, because I'm seeing what looks like damage that would come from smoking in his lungs. But if it's not from smoking, I feel like he also could have been exposed to something that damages his lungs.
Hmm.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know?
No, I'm learning as I go here.
Yeah.
Are you resonating with any of that?
I mean, my father was really old when I was born. My dad was 70 when I was born. He was an old man, so I don't really know that much about him. So I'm actually like, you know, I'm kind of writing.
How old was he when he passed?
He was 86.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of writing some of this down just because, like, these would be things that I would ask.
Definitely.
And because someone who would know.
Because these are things, too, that I feel like you're going to need to know as you get older.
Right.
One of the things is that... I'm seeing this piece of tissue that actually could look like the end of my pinky, like a small piece of tissue, so that either it's a small tumor or it's a, this some kind of growth or some kind of piece of tissue that was at some point removed or diagnosed or something like this. And I feel like this actually could be something that... Go ahead.
I mean, he lost one of his fingers. I don't know if that would be it or not.
Okay, well, then I'll take that.
I mean, it's crazy.
Because I don't know why. Like, specific as that saying is. I don't know why that I see this like a finger that's disconnected. I'm wondering if it's a tumor or a piece of something that's actually been
actually
removed from the body.
It's actually a finger
been removed. So with that being said, I also feel like I want to warn you also about like a congestive heart issue. Literally, like the tissue around the heart kind of strangling the heart. But also coupled with that is that actually inside the heart that there may have been some kind of malfunction or something that sort of was that ultimately contributed to his lack of well-being as he aged. Now, it doesn't take a psychic to say that because a lot of elderly people have those problems. But I feel like this could lend itself to something congenital that you might actually deal with as well.
Yeah, I just wrote down, get an EKG right here.
Yeah, so...
I'm not joking
and
at all.
And was there also a reconstruction of the shoulder or some kind of something through the
shoulder? I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's not waste time on it.
But Rebecca, he's here. He's present.
Oh, well, this is, yeah, I feel like he's present. And I think what Jack's saying is that you could be very sensitive to mold, any place that has mold. You grew up in, you said farmland, so anything that would be exposed. You said Iowa, right?
No, Louisiana.
Louisiana, oh, okay. But was there any kind of, were you out, was there any kind of open space around you or any, do you know where your father was born?
He was born in Nicaragua.
Okay, that's probably what I see, because I see lots of green, like, fields, so that makes sense to that. So I think he's saying be careful, don't lose your finger, be careful of anything, like, I get farmland or anything that would be moldy, that you might be ultra-sensitive to it. I don't. You look young. You look like you're only in your 30s, but to back up Jack, a lot of people I say going into their 40s should get an echocardiogram because I have a lot of widows come in my office.
I don't want to be a widow maker.
By the way,
here's my advice too. Don't snort cocaine because it'll screw up your nose and give you a heart attack. That would be my suggestion.
But no, but I'm actually feeling your dad is a pretty strong individual. I feel your dad really strong, Heather. Okay, but your father is like a strong individual. He's like got some real power here. He talks about how he made his money and how he met your mother since he was so old. He was happy to have you in the world, though. He was like, whoa, I had a baby at 70. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. He also shows me two wedding rings around you. So, and I'm feeling you have a really big pink aura right now, which indicates marriage. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have two marriages. It just means that you're going to have two loves of your life and could end up in marriage.
I thought pink meant you were sexy.
No, it's love. Red is sexy.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to be either married soon or engaged. I don't know.
Are you going on the date with the girl from the gym after this?
I don't know. I met some girl earlier.
Yeah, you're in the pink.
But I don't think she likes me, though.
Well,
tell us she better, because the said you're in the pink zone.
No, you have opportunity to marry two women. You'll make the right choice. That's good. You haven't done anything right now. The name Jim is so strong in here, Jim or James. But does that belong to you by any chance? Do you know if your father knows James?
Well, yeah, my dad is Robert James.
Yeah, that's your dad.
And his first cousin was the Irish priest named Jim Morrison.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they were really good friends, and he would come over.
He's trying
Ireland
to butt in on
out.
your reading here.
No, it's fine.
No, with Theo and your dad are talking together. They're very different from each other, but they're having a great conversation, and they're all concerned, not about your career. Your career is going in leaps and bounds. It was more about your love life, having the balance of love and career. But I do feel when you marry, you'll marry well. Take your time. It'll be a great time. You're going to find yourself on many travels with this woman. She likes to travel. She likes to eat, but she's not heavy. Maybe a good cook, maybe not, but you enjoy the same foods together.
I did meet this Mexican woman this morning, actually, at this cafe, but I think she already has two kids, and I just feel like she's not going to lose some of the weight that's in her legs. But otherwise, I would marry her in a heartbeat.
Well, I don't know. It was something centered around food.
I'll see her again next week.
Yeah, so
Theo's on the hunt. Okay.
Yeah,
any single women out
there. But she's been working there forever. So I go there all the time because I live right by there.
Yeah, so you never know. Okay, but there was something about food. And remember, you said two times.
Can jogging be a first date, or that can't be? That's not even
walking.
I'm serious. Like, could you? Is that out of line? Or let's go for like a nice long, like a 7 mile walk.
You're so funny. So, Jack, what do you think about his love life? Because I feel like you get an opportunity to marry between a year and a half and 2 years, if not sooner.
Wow, it's pretty soon.
I'm pretty good with marriage.
Now, when you hear her, is that like something that's simpatico between you guys? Like, or you guys get totally different views?
We don't know yet
stuff?
Because they just met.
Well, I think he was right on about the nose. I was picking up farmland, something exposed, possibly, but you have to be sensitive with mold. I'm right. I think he's right about the.
I mean, I have a big nose. Maybe that's just all it is.
No, I've got a long English nose, too. No.
It's thanks, suitable man. To your face.
Oh, that's nice you to
you
say.
You know Jesus, but, you know, the nose is the face.
Uh-huh. I can't believe Jesus has a big nose.
It's long.
They never talk about that in any of the books.
All right, let's not make fun of Jesus' nose.
No, I mean, that's bad. There's way worse things we could be saying about him. I believe in him. I mean, I'm on board.
I said he was a hot Jew, and he had a nice nose. It's just long. That's all.
But now when you hear her prophesize and, you know, iterate and, you know, share things that she's thinking, do you believe what she says or no?
It's not a question of believe or disbelieve. The evidence will bear itself true or false.
Okay.
That's a good answer. So, you know, what happens is when you get into a room where you have, you know, maybe sensitives who don't know each other, there's a tendency sometimes to feel threatened or competitive or something like this. And so when there's another person that I'm working in close proximity with, I will sort of withdraw from the table and put myself in neutral, as it were, like, you know, so that I'm staying in the moment and not being carried away with what she's saying or what you're saying. Because what happens is that when you're working as a psychic, you can find yourself in a flow of information, and it begins to change, just like your ordinary thoughts,
right,
think, you know, according to how they feel. And so what I've noticed in working with other psychics and training is that if you sort of begin to allow what they're saying to sort of enter into your inner space, you can then begin to sort of connect the dots. Like in a conversation, when you're talking with a friend, they say something that makes sense, you add to it. And what I want to do is stay in a neutral place, allow her what she's sharing to come across the table so that I'm not letting what she's saying influence my perception. Now, if I do hear something that is, you know, taking the words right out of my mouth, then I might jump in and say, yes, I'm getting that too, X, Y, and Z, and add to it. But, I think it's important and respectful to allow her to have the floor and do what she's doing. And then but we do have different ways of working.
Yeah, we're different.
Everyone's different. Every instrument is different. And everyone will receive information in a different way.
Right. And when I saw you, I did see a woman that was food around food. Remember, I said it's two rings. So I'm a pretty good visionary, so I see the visions of what...
I'm glad there's food in the future.
Yeah.
Well, but if there's two rings, that means the first one's not going to work out.
No, it doesn't mean that.
It means he's going to have... He's gonna
she
have
wants two rings.
No, maybe. Or you have opportunity to meet two women. The name Kathy is so strong in here. But again, that might have to do with you.
Well, Catherine is my dad's mother.
Yeah, she's here. Okay, Kathy. So we have your grandmother, Kathy, Catherine. We have your father... We might have the priest, I don't know, possibly because we were talking about Jesus and religion.
Right.
And your father is like going like this.
Yeah, okay. So let's do Heather, and then maybe some more of Theo's family will show up and try to butt in again.
So why don't you continue?
Okay. So they want me to tell you that you're definitely going to move, but make sure it's the place that you want to go next.
Okay.
Do you know about that yet?
Move like in a house or move like a career move?
No, not move. It's not a career move. It's a residence.
Oh.
So there might be something that comes up out of the blue. Don't panic. It'll be a good one, not a negative. You're not forced into anything at all.
Okay.
There is a gentleman that's kind of tall. He's a good looking guy, really nice. He's also funny. He loves your humor. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to.
Is it a black guy or not?
I see two children around you, but I don't.
Well, I have children.
Do you have two children already?
I have two that came out of me.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I'm one stepdaughter.
Go ahead. They just came out of you
instantly.
No, my boys. Yeah.
But as I was kind of waiting to start on you as well, the first thing that I noticed with you is your fertility, mm-hmm. honestly. I don't know if you have a concern about fertility or if I just look at you, you're going to get pregnant. But there's something about...
I'm a little old, don't you think?
I'm not here to judge you.
Jeez.
I'm not here to judge you.
I just had sex yesterday. Oh, no.
You did? Wow, lucky.
Can you imagine if I got pregnant right now?
I could totally see you being pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, my youngest is 8, so I feel like that's a huge age difference.
You're probably younger than
me. That's not that old.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
Are you trying to get pregnant?
Yeah. I saw two.
Are you trying to get pregnant?
No, I just feel like it's not really a risk because I'm, you know, in my 40s.
Be careful.
You should have a child, I think.
I already had 2 children and a stepdaughter.
Yeah, and you have to be careful when you get older because they can have issues. So yeah.
The good news is you'll stay a lot.
Okay, so basically use contraception, Heather. Okay, we're going to give you that message.
First of all, no. Yeah, you're not want to hook up with you don't want to hook up with some chick and she's using contraception. That's not going to.
Well, it's my husband.
She's married.
Yeah,
you don't want to be unless you're not married and you're a minor.
That's a good point.
I actually have 2 children and then a possible 3rd, but that's your stepchild. That's the daughter. Yeah,
only
that's what I saw.
Married people have sex.
And you have a son in there too.
Yeah, should have sex.
I have 2 sons.
Yeah,
because 11 and 8.
Yeah, because when I looked at you, I saw the boys.
Yeah.
And then there was that 3rd one where I couldn't place.
Yeah.
So that's the daughter.
That's yeah.
Your husband's really, he's good with your humor. He likes, loves you dearly. I mean, he's like, he's very loyal. He's his own person though. He's no like wimp, but he mm-hmm. will, if you really have an issue, this is what I feel, really have an issue and you really need to talk to him, he will listen to you. He'll put everything mm-hmm. aside for you.
So what is
like a good guy.
Let's connect with the Heather's father.
Yeah. And your father.
He's Italian?
Who?
Your father.
No, he's Irish.
He looks Italian to me.
He's Irish.
No, he's
psychic Theo, everyone.
No, I'm just saying, like, as you guys kind of start to, I kind of envision as to what I see him.
Well, there you go. He's 100% Irish.
I'm Italian. That's maybe why you're picking that up. Yeah. Okay, so, he is around the children a lot, especially the older boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's sort of a guardian angel right now. But Catherine's like chiming in here. She mm-hmm. wants you to pay attention because your father can communicate with you.
Okay.
And she's adamant to listen. Don't hold back, okay? If you see something that happens, you're like, wow, the light went on and off. Or you find a coin in a really weird place that you know there was no mm-hmm. money. Or you get a dream like you've been getting.
He comes in my dreams a lot.
Yeah, and so did you say your father's first name was Robert?
His name is Robert James.
That's what I was thinking, man.
We have the priest in here now, too, Jim.
Yeah, that's Father Jim.
Yeah. He has actually a good sense of humor.
He was hilarious.
That's what makes me laugh so hard, you guys.
I trust him.
He likes Jack a lot. He says he does. He does look like Jesus.
Pipe in, Jack. Come on. Don't be so laid back.
I bet he does.
You need to work the room.
Theo's so funny.
He probably thinks we're underage. That's why he likes
us.
She's hardcore.
He got busted.
No. He kept saying he passed away when I was like, I think maybe I was about 25 or something. And I just was doing stand-up for a couple years. So he was visiting from Ireland, and he kept saying, show me your act, show me your act. And I said, you're coming to the Belly Room at the Comedy Store. I'll just wait till then.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the way to the Belly Room, he, like, went into cardiac arrest.
And he died?
He died about 18 days later. He never came out of it. Oh. So he never saw my stand-up act. And I was like, why didn't I just do it for him in the living room?
Yeah,
He actually thinks that's not.
He probably doesn't care. He's probably, thank God.
I hate to say, but you killed that night. That's a tacky thing to say.
He told me to tell you. At least so you didn't die during your act.
Yeah.
Then you would have thought the act killed him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so God arranged it to happen before not dying. And he says he's seen it plenty of times since, and you're totally hilarious.
She is. She's so funny.
Yeah, do you talk about your husband at all?
Yeah,
because he says you're really funny about your husband on stage, and your husband's a good sport.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, and she mm-hmm. she has a Showtime mm-hmm. special now that you have to see it.
Are you aware? Just yes or no.
Yes.
Are you aware of your family history? More than just, my so-and-so is from Ireland or this one was from Pittsburgh. I mean, if I was to give you some information about your family history in Ireland, would you be able to say, yes or no, or I think so?
Not that much.
Okay.
Just that, I just know that, there was all but one sibling came over, and that one sibling stayed there and had the Father Jim.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all the other siblings in the family came over to Ellis Island. That's all I really know.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm also, but this
why?
Is
why? What were you going to tell me? Tell me.
Because actually, there's something interesting I feel like with your family is that they were, you had, you actually, in your family history, I feel like there was one man in particular, maybe possibly another, that was actually very active in the early on in the Troubles.
What Troubles? What do you mean?
The uprising against the British.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like this is something that would be almost something that you would want to feel proud of at this point, you know, sort of ethnically. I have the sense that... Actually, you know, I feel if you could dig back in your family tree, literally what I'm seeing is in your family tree, I feel like there's someone who actually could have, this is early, early on. I'm thinking like pre-1930. I actually think it's earlier than that. Who may have literally died on the street in a protest. Mm. Are you aware of this at all?
No.
No, I'm happy to be wrong, you know, but I just, based on my experience, what I'm seeing is quite distinct. I can literally hear people shouting and screaming and rocks being thrown. I feel like the hustle and like the tussling back and forth, and I literally feel as if I'm going down and I hit my head on the cobblestone or on the road on the concrete or something like this, and I have the sense of an absolute melee.
I mean, maybe that is the main reason, you know, why they left. You know, they like lived through the potato famine and they all came.
But that was actually that would have been 50 years prior.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, so that's
check it out.
Yeah, but
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so that's just something interesting.
Now, Jack, you're holding on to an icon that I gave you earlier.
Oh,
that
right.
Doesn't have anything to do with that, is it?
If you know something I don't,
I was curious
because it could.
Because you've been clinging on to it, I'm worried. I gave Jack an iconic piece of jewelry.
You gave me a piece of jewelry, and so let me just so you don't kind of
right. But I mean, just make sure it's not connected to that.
No, I haven't. I'm holding it upside down. I haven't really looked at it. It has a religious significance. So you know whether this is something that, but I actually feel that. This is actually a copy of a work of art that you could maybe find other places. Like I literally I see it as if it's been stitched or embroidered into a tapestry.
Yes.
At some point. And I feel like this is something that would be, for some reason, I feel like it's like Byzantine or early Christianity, you know, 13th, 14th century, something
like
this.
The original artwork.
Yeah. And the diamonds were added later with this. And but I feel like, well...
But this has nothing to do with the uprising and the...
I'm not getting that, except okay, maybe good. If there's some kind of the religiosity of this is connected to that, but I don't feel like that. So
Heather, you probably, you know, there was probably some scuffling going on in the streets in Ireland before.
Well, I mean,
there's always scuffling going on in the streets in Ireland.
They were not rich people when they came over here.
Yeah.
They were poor.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't like they left a kingdom or something.
Most people left because of those
reasons.
I was saying this would be
sense.
Like extended family.
So get on Ancestry.com and look at your history and see if you see anybody, if you see any... William Wallace's in there. And
you know what I do love about my grandmother, Kitty, her name was Catherine, but she went by Kitty, is she came over here to Ellis Island at like 29. But when you got to Ellis Island, you could just put your name and your age. So 29 is like such an old person not to be married back then.
Absolutely.
So she just wrote down 19 and then married my grandfather, who was like a hot fireman in Long Beach, Long Island, New York. And from what I understood from the stories, the kids never knew that she was like 10 years older than their dad. And I don't even know if he knew.
That's
because
hilarious.
Not until she died in her 90s did they say, they thought she was like 88, but she was really like 98.
Wow.
Right. And she has a little bit of humor about that. But
yeah.
And I know that Mary is a common name in Ireland, but it is so strong. Mary, 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 Mary. But I keep getting the vision of the church where Father Jim practiced, but had you been there before? That it's not a big church; it's more of an old.
Probably,
time
I mean,
church.
We went to. Mm-hmm. They were from Cork, Ireland, and we did go on a trip to Cork. And
yeah,
it was like, and when he died, we had to ship him back to Ireland, and it was like, you know, the most famous person. Got, you know, it was a huge homecoming apparently for his funeral.
Yeah, it was, because I keep going back to that church. It has a pretty stained glass window, but it's not a modern church. Now they might have done more work to it, but I kept going to the graveyard. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where he...
Yeah, he had like a traditional...
Yeah, traditional burial, and he said it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think he might be referencing the Virgin Mary, mm-hmm. Possibly, or it could have been, there's two women here that keep telling me their name is Mary. Mm. So you have a pretty large family that you never even knew about.
Oh, yeah.
There's two Marys. There's an older Mary and a younger Mary. So if you went back into your ancestry, you'd be able to find who they are, mm-hmm. because there's the free Ireland and the other Ireland, you know, mm-hmm. and it's hard to explain what that means because I'm part Irish too, but I'm mm-hmm. also Italian. And so all the records are still secure inside the churches. Mm-hmm. So you'd be able to totally find
your
family.
I'll just get you a subscription to Ancestry.com.
Yeah, I was here in County Cork, so that's probably what I was seeing.
We should have them as one of our sponsors.
Yeah, they're all from.
And there's a little river there. It's really pretty, actually.
Yeah, I went when I was 16, but mm-hmm. you know, haven't been back since.
You're going to go back with your children, I believe.
So oh, it's good. Be they want to go. I'm waiting till they're old enough to...
Appreciate it. Pay for it.
There you go.
As Theo, your dad is coming back and saying, you know, you should get some land, you know, buy some land. And he keeps giving me, like, the numbers of how you can work it with, I guess, the price of land. I don't even know if your dad liked to buy land or own land, but his family might have had a lot of land. And did you say Ecuador?
He's from Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's pretty close to each other, I think.
Yeah, he's just showing me all these green fields and beautiful ocean. And so it's exciting because I think not only could you make money on what you're doing, but you can make money in real estate too if you're wise about it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, it's the only other venture that I'm in, actually. It's real estate. Me and a buddy of mine.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's what I keep calling
that. Did your dad?
So, yeah, giving me
your numbers.
So
Jack has a smirk on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you okay?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah. You're so quiet. Come on, Jesus. Come into the circle.
He's patient.
Jesus. Well, no, because, and then I'm seeing also that you said bed and breakfast. Yeah, no, it's okay. We're doing okay here. So he said to be careful, though, because, you know, people have two books, so you want to see the real book.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And he gives me the, but you know, it's funny. He gives me the amount of nine something, but it might be $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you want to look at the figures and do your research on, you know, you don't want to just do it for fun. You want to make some profit.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we know what you're going to be doing in the future.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you have New York around you so strong. It's like you have a gig in New York that'll be really great and really fun.
She just had a gig in New York that was awesome.
But that's where my dad's from. That's where they all are from.
Did you play in the Caroline Comedy Theater?
No, I did Gotham.
Uh-huh. You have something with Caroline. And also, where did we go again? We went to...
Comedy Juice.
No, remember we went to when we saw the other comedian here in Australia?
The Improv?
No. Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie Hall.
Have you ever done Carnegie Hall?
I have done Carnegie Hall. Yeah. I opened for Chelsea in Carnegie Hall.
Oh, is that funny?
And actually... my cousin who passed away came to see me.
Uh-huh, at Carnegie Hall?
DJ Dennis Carey. He died from ALS. Mm-hmm. But when he came, he was, like, having trouble speaking but could still, you know, still enjoy it and was in a wheelchair.
Right. I think that's why I'm getting, because I was going to say, there's somebody here talking about Carnegie Hall to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks like he's not in a wheelchair anymore, obviously. So in heaven, that's the case.
Yeah.
You do get well in that way. And but I'm feeling like he keeps going to your younger boy, who is very expressive, a little bit intuitive, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that maybe he can feel us around. So might be kind of aware. If I think it's the younger boy, but I could be wrong, that is kind of a sensitive, too.
Yeah. Well, the younger boy is definitely, like, more...
Mm-hmm.
Emotional and out there in a fun way, but also in like a little difficult way too.
Yeah.
But you know, but like I just am like, okay, these years are hard, but like I feel like he's gonna be okay. When he's older.
Just be in tune with him. Hear what he says. He sometimes likes the one-on-one with you.
Yeah,
and because he loves his mom so much, you know, and so that's all he needs—a little TLC.
Okay,
that's
all we all need. I'll take a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
He's got shorty over there.
Yeah,
all right. Blondie running through over there.
So just for everyone, I just want to give out a little bit of information about Rebecca because she's on a roll here, and she actually has a show coming up at the El Portal Theater on November 29th, and it's open to the general public, and the door is open at 7 p.m., and the show's at 8 p.m., and basically, if you go to elportaltheater.com, you can do that. You can get information. Do you have it on your website as well?
Yeah, it's all over the place. They just set up to buy tickets today. And not only...
So tell us a little bit about what your show's all about.
Well, I like my show to be a party. So what I do is I like to try to read the whole room, if possible. I don't know. This is a big venue, 360 people. I've been able to do 200, 100. I don't just do 8 people.
And how much is it?
Yeah, the tickets are $75, $125, and $200 if you want the VIP. which doesn't mean necessarily that you'll get called just because you're paying more. It's because the seats are close to the
space.
Yeah,
and
some
the spirits
like
might come through,
right,
or they might
but
not.
You know what? We work it too. You know,
she's very good at it. She also stays for like 5 hours afterwards and tries to give everybody a reading.
Well, what we're doing after, we call it a gala because I'm having a party after. So if you don't get a reading in the audience, you get to see me at the intermission, and you will see me at the after party, which is till like whatever, you know, whatever. The guys.
She's there all night.
And so we have food and drinks, and I might have an aura reader.
Well, I'll definitely be there. I will definitely be there.
So it's a real party.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take a break and come right back with more Calling Out with Susan Pinsky.
Check us out on the web at callingout@susanpinsky.com for show notes and extended commentary. And don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. And now back to the show.
The comedy is actually a acutely refined defense mechanism. And when you feel those loneliness or pinges for company and companionship, you have to notice if the compulsion to connect with someone is really in a way to avoid your own feelings, like,
right,
stay with the loneliness, and you can be alone and not be lonely, you know. And when you stay with that and you allow yourself to feel whether the loneliness is coming from a place of maybe deeper sadness or just an anxiousness or an irritability or something that drive to connect with someone else could be connected to maybe stress in work life or, you know, a bad audition or something. Or sometimes when you have a really hot night, you might have killed it in front of an audience and you want to really share that with someone. But sometimes the stimulation that comes from performing is actually can be so overwhelming that it drives you into wanting to disconnect from yourself by connecting with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so just stay with what you're feeling and be willing to face that, because superficially it looks like, okay, I'm no longer going to settle for X, Y, and Z. I got to get with serious people, which is part of the bargain. It's part of the thing that you need to do, right? To find someone meaningful to connect with. But the other thing is a commitment and willingness to really be a companion to yourself.
Yeah.
By not, you know, sort of shuffling focus away from real emotions and real feelings.
Yeah,
and
I do that all the time.
And once you have that ability to really stay present with yourself, that's what everyone wants. Mm-hmm. And meaningful people will be drawn to you because of your ability. As a man, it'll read a strength and desirability that a woman can then share her feelings with you without overwhelming you or without getting annoyed by it. Like, oh, fuck, this bitch won't shut up about her feelings. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if you're cool with your own feelings, she can feel free and it feels like you're a rock to her.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then real companionship can come out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever I've been doing hasn't really been creating much serious companionship, I don't think.
No, but you know, it is like women like emotional intimacy. And anyway, I feel like you're coming out of that phase because you're like she said, you're ready to make that commitment. Do you want to be married?
I think so.
Yeah, because you're ready to be married right now. I feel that. That's why I saw the pink around you, the two rings, two opportunities with two different women that are suitable for you. You know, women like friendship into love, love into in love, and love to emotional intimacy. Clue to always having good sex, okay, because women like to be emotional. Intimacy. And then, but your girl likes to laugh. She likes to travel. She's actually really cute. She doesn't really have a weight problem. Maybe the gal at the Mexican restaurant.
That's what I'm talking about, son.
Yeah. She doesn't really have a weight problem.
Heather's probably right about not hanging around, you know, people that are not, like, straightforward and upfront. Like, she told me a story of how you guys were working together, and you told her a story of you took a woman home.
You told the story about how you met some girl on the internet and you went over there.
Met some girl on the internet.
In the bed, and she had no legs.
She didn't have any legs. I met this girl on the internet.
Well, that's like,
it was a dark surprise.
Well, and then you couldn't leave because then you would probably feel like, or you're the guy who doesn't go with girls who have no legs.
Yeah, I didn't want to run out of her place. I didn't want to show off.
Well, because she can't run after you.
Right.
Oh, no, it was dark, man. It was a dark time, and I was going through some things, and it was just...
But it was sweet of you to still have sex.
I mean, I took some nice wine over there. I still text her sometimes.
You do?
You know?
Oh,
once
good. You know what? I'm gonna set you up with some single ladies.
I don't know
that
about that.
I have in my office. I am.
Really?
Yes.
But are they all clairvoyants or no?
No, they're all like beautiful, like...
Are they from other countries?
Some are.
No, I'm just getting a sense that they're from other countries.
No, some are.
You're a psychic feel, everybody.
You know what?
No, I'm not saying I'm a psychic, but I'm just saying, you know, as you're saying, I'm thinking like, oh, these sound like some girls from some other countries.
Okay, so we have to move on. I wanted to talk about this piece of jewelry just because I've been really interested in it. I have a friend who's a jeweler, and she's all her stuff's at Bergdorf and whatnot, and she's been really nice to to let me borrow stuff for red carpets and whatnot. But I really love this this artwork that she does. It's a an icon from Russia that was probably...
Oh, that's why I was seeing Coptic and Byzantine.
It's a duplication of art, but it was used in those days.
Dude, that is so cool. As beautiful.
As a religious artifact to worship. You know, it was something that they would hold on to when they would pray and whatnot. And with the, you know, when it, in the era that it was used, it was probably forbidden at some point. But I was really interested to see if maybe you guys could figure out some who owned it before.
Yeah, I get a woman owned it. She was someone who didn't wear it all the time. She...
Well, they would just basically keep it by their bed on like a piece of wood.
Yeah, she didn't wear it all the time. That's what I felt. But she was someone who was very sad about her mother. So maybe she was, when her mother passed, it was hard for her to accept the fact that her mother was gone.
Mm-hmm.
She, it might have had, I feel, two owners, obviously, because now it's not owned by anybody. But and she was like a medium-sized woman, had a lot of hair. She used to put it up a lot. And it does does resonate, the name Sophie, but that's very Russian, Sophia. So...
Can I tell you, are we still talking about the...
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I want to tell you about this one dream I had that I thought was very weird about
uh-huh.
my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to live next door to us, but then they moved when he got sick to assisted living. But had this, but they but I would always come in from the garage. It was like an extra fridge. And so he'd come in from the garage into the kitchen. And so I had this dream that it was like we were in their house from like 5 years ago. And he walked in from the kitchen. And I'm like, Dad, what are you doing here? We burned you because he was, you know,
cremated.
Ashes, cremated. And I was like, oh my God, we burned you. You know, how did you come down? And he goes, oh, you know, Jesus lets me come down for like a couple hours and then I have to go up.
By the way, just so you know, I've gotten no texts or calls. I've given no one permission to.
And I was like, oh my God, this is so great. You know, now this is the thing. My sisters are like jealous that I'm having these dreams.
Right.
But I have always been like an incredible avid dreamer that can recall dreams, that dream like, and sometimes I go, oh, that's a weird dream. And I can remember exactly like.
Like a dream weaver.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll remember, oh, I saw this weird thing and that's why I had that weird dream. Like sometimes I can figure out why I had the weird dream. And so I was just wondering if there's anything about those dreams where he comes in and...
Well, I actually there are three types of dreams. There's a chili burger dream where you've eaten too much and you're, means nothing, okay?
Yeah.
Then there's the visitations, which you're getting. Mm-hmm. And then there's precognition dreams that you might be an actor in the play of some future event. Like, I've dreamt about 9/11 and all kinds of things, okay? Mm-hmm. But I never was there, but I'd experience the whole mm-hmm. event, okay? So your dad is coming down. Now, this is what I feel in the way of what I've seen from heaven. Who goes up can come down for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Your connection between your loved ones is not cut off. Mm-hmm. And so for your father to say that in my world is completely normal.
Now, mm-hmm. Jack wrote a book, and he's mm-hmm. he talks about subconscious and, mm-hmm. and how our subconscious is really strong. And when you dream, you're dreaming in subconscious state, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, because you're more open.
But let Jack talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead,
He wrote a book about it. Mm-hmm. He's got
I would love to know more about dreams because I do dream so much. Like, it's rare that I wake up and I have not had a dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, I mean, you know, I mean, the foremost authority on dreams is probably Jung, so you know, let's put it in perspective. But, you know, when it comes to sort of, you know, paranormal events, you know, sort of visitation dreams and things like that, I mean, sometimes it is wish fulfillment, sometimes it is just sort of, you know, you're observing the past, or your mind is processing, and we each have the capability to use one another, you know, our loved ones and things as archetypes for, you mm-hmm. know, whatever more profound meaning, whether if your father, you know, your brain shows you your father, maybe in points in your life where you need to feel loved or stability or feel safe or whatever, but that doesn't preclude, you know, sort of visitation type dreams. It's just saying that that's something else that, you know, can occur.
And those dreams always seem a lot more intense when you have them, because you actually feel like they're present, like yeah. more, like I'll have weird dreams and I can't remember really who was in them and what was going on. But when I wake up and I've had a dream about my mother or something, it's like there's a pit in my stomach, like, oh my God, that is so weird. Like I had that same feeling as though she was alive.
There was I write in the beginning of my book, you know, I know Rebecca shared some of her early experiences or commented on how that when she was really young, she was always very psychic. So, but you know, in my book, The Rational Psychic, I talk about one of the, I try to deal with things that are very distinct and can prove, right? And so, although I've had a lot of strange experiences throughout my life, in my book, the first thing I point to as far as the first time I've ever discerned information that was objectively verifiable was I was born a twin.
Were you really or not?
No, I really was. Yeah. No, everything else is just a lie.
Yeah.
But I was I was born a twin, and this actually is speaking to your point.
Yeah.
Was my twin sister died. Mm-hmm.
In the womb?
No. When she was 14.
Oh.
We were 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so the moment of her death, the abridged version of the story was I was actually sleeping. Mm-hmm. But I had already been awake for several hours, and I had gone and done all these things, and I went and laid down, and I was fully dressed for the day. It was a Sunday morning. We were going to church, and I didn't want to mess my clothes up, so I just kind of laid myself across my bed because it was already made, and I didn't want to have to remake my bed. And so I kind of just sort of fell into this sort of twilight state. So was I asleep? Maybe. Or if I want to sort of paranormally aggrandize it, I'll say I was channeling or something like that. But really, I was just kind of in a twilight state. And in that state, a being appeared in sort of the space above the bed to my left. And the short version of the story is, you know, I left my body and my sister appeared. And this being said, you know, look to your right. I looked and there was my sister. And she was there. And he said, your sister's dead. Explained it to me. And, you know, ironically, you know, I saw her transition, however you want to sort of define that. And it was incredibly powerful. And it wasn't emotional, but I did begin to tear. And the way that I talk about it is it was so overwhelming for my physical body, that non-physical experience.
And where was she?
She was handicapped. She had some illness, and then she wasn't able to walk.
Yeah, she had never walked, and she had some other problems. But there was no reason to suspect that she was going to die
that day.
Right,
yeah.
but then when she crossed over, she suddenly was skipping away and felt
good. Yeah, I saw her whole and complete.
Yes.
But the point...
So you were also happy for her.
It was like Christmas morning. You know, I was imbued with the sense of freedom that she had, you know, and it was a really, really moving experience. But coming out of that, I found out she was in fact dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, for me, that's something that I had.
So, like, when your parents told you, you were like, I knew.
I was told, I was laying in bed, and someone burst into my bedroom. I was actually suffering from sleep paralysis,
mm-hmm.
where I really couldn't move, and I was so emotionally evacuated from the mm-hmm. experience. I was kind of still disconnected from my body, and they said, you know, she's dead, and there was like this panic in their eyes, as if I didn't understand what dead meant, because I just sort of looked at them and said, I know, without really moving. Just it was took all my effort just to move my lips, to be mm-hmm. honest.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I said, I know, and they, no, you got to go. They took her to the hospital, blah blah blah, and I said, I got it, you know, I know, and then I'll never forget the look on their face. Was like they literally kind of were taken aback. And they got up and walked out of the room, and I stayed in my little sanctuary in my bedroom and they had to come and sort of pry me out. And when I went out to the living area, of course the neighbors were there, the priest was there, everyone was kind of converging on the house at that point. And I walked into the room, and the only analogy I can offer you is like a child walking into the living room on Christmas morning. You know, when you see the tree and there's like that magic you feel, you can't, you're smiling so bad your face hurts. I walked into the room, and as soon as I came into the room, everyone went quiet and looked over at me, and I couldn't hide. You know, I couldn't hide that what I was feeling, and it was really disconcerting for everyone else there.
Right.
But it was like a big relief on some level.
For me, but I, you know, but my point is that we do. That we can get visitation dreams, we can have these experiences, and you know, whether it's by location, where, I mean, historically you can look back and there's tons of accounts of people, you know, dying on distant battlefields or twins or loved ones dying in car accidents, is then peering to their loved ones, you know, half a world away.
Yeah.
You know, so we have, there is this sense of connection.
Yeah.
So there's this.
Yeah, I like when my dad died, he was sick, he was on hospice, but I set my alarm for 6:30, but I woke up like naturally at like 6:05 or something, and I got up and I went to make coffee, and then the phone rang. And my sister's like, "Oh, the hospice nurse called." And
it's almost like you sensed it already.
Gone. Yeah, like I think him going woke me up, because you know, it was so early. I wouldn't have woken up that early on my own, you know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how our minds work and how we're connected and how we do feel these things.
Yeah.
And that we're not just making it up in our heads, you know.
Yeah, we're not really alone. Just sort of on our own little journeys, you know. There is an interconnectedness for sure, for sure.
Well, I'm just, you know, I had some interest in that religious icon. If you have any more thoughts on it, I'd love to.
Well, I just feel really sad about somebody's mom, like either maybe the woman that died, her daughter was sad about her. But it's a lot of sadness. That I'm not saying it's negative, but it to me, when I touch this, I'm grieving over my mom. Oh.
Did your friend make this, or was
she actually retrieved it from Russia?
Because I have a different perspective on this particular object. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you that I feel like it had a couple different owners, but I actually feel like it belonged to a man at one point, and I feel like it belonged to a very religious man, and I'm seeing like the Eastern Orthodox type guy, you know, with the long beard, with the long sort of, you know, priest outfit, and I feel like it. I feel, and although it's on a chain now, I feel like it would have been on a chain at some other point as well. I feel like I want to wear it around my neck. Actually,
okay, yeah. So maybe it had two owners, a man and a woman. But
well, it was from the 1800s. So
it could have been a gay man too.
No,
but it's like a lot of grief. As soon as I hold that, I feel like I'm so sad about my.
Well, they used to keep them by their bed, and as a religious token, and then of course they were hidden. After, you know, Christianity was condemned later, and they're interesting artifacts that.
And is it Moscow that's from?
Probably somewhere in Russia.
Yeah, I feel more Moscow, but I could be wrong. But the energy reminds me of Moscow. And
well, my friend Silva from Silva and Company, she sells them at Bergdorf and like Neiman Marcus, and she bejewels them, and they're actually beautiful.
Oh, so the diamonds were added. So
they were added later. It was just a piece of brass,
really,
or whatever.
Cool.
They're absolutely gorgeous. She lets me borrow stuff all the time, and she said Heather can borrow some stuff for red carpets anytime. So we're going to be hooking Heather up, because she does more red carpets.
Yes, I'll just wear my old shit.
So I'll put a picture of it on the. I just, you know, it was interesting because I wore one that for the Annunciation to the Howard Stern party, and I don't know. I just felt this really warm sense of control or something. It just made me feel really good. It was a great night. It was a fun party, but I just loved wearing it. So I just thought, I wanted to know if there was any significance to it. That's all. I have a feeling about it.
It makes you feel good. It's always significant.
Yeah, that's true. But
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be right back with more Calling Out with Susan Pence.
Keep the discussion going on Twitter. Follow Susan at First Lady of Love and follow the show at Calling Out Today, as well as Sideshow Network at Sideshow Network.
So we're back on Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, and we have Sandy on the phone. She's calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. And Sandy, you're here with Jack Rourke and Rebecca Fearing, Heather McDonald, and Theo Vaughn. And I know it's a big, you're with a big group here, but Rebecca and Jack are going to listen in or feel into your vibe and give you a reading today. And if you have any questions, please ask.
Great, thank you.
So maybe Rebecca, you can get started.
Okay. First, you need to stop worrying about your weight. You're not heavy. You're beautiful and cute. I don't know. I feel a little insecurity with your body. So, you know what? You look great. Just look in the mirror and say, I'm fabulous. Because I know
Well, that's what Heather does every day.
Right.
And she's just looking around like,
okay. Yeah. And when I'm seeing this gentleman come from behind you, he's a nice looking guy. He's like, I don't know, he's pretty youngish. He's got more brown hair than blonde, blondish brown, actually. He has a T-shirt on, young kind of guy, but I'm trying to I feel like he's, you've got two people coming. One is in this dimension, the other one's passed away, and he keeps telling me, please tell her, Sandy, I'm okay, I'm okay. So do you know somebody who was young that died suddenly that was kind of an upbeat guy, cute, kind of a jersey on, maybe like sports or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's right behind you, and he's like bugging me, hey, Rebecca, get her. So he knows my name. He must have known we were calling. And he wants to tell you that he, when he died, it wasn't painful. You need to know that because he feels like you're worrying about that way too much. And he tries to come into the dreams. We had just talked about that. He also said, can you call his mom, call his mother? Do you know his mother?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he was kind of concerned about... Go ahead. Go ahead, Sandy.
That's a huge issue. Yes.
Ooh.
What's the issue? Did you not get along with your mother?
Well, he's my cousin, but he's more of a brother.
Okay.
His mom helped pretty much raise me, and now we don't speak.
Why don't you speak?
A million and one reasons. Just
Well, he said
everything. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She thinks that there was relations between you two.
No.
No, what are you doing, Theo?
Theo, no.
Psychic Theo
no,
show.
No, I'm not forget what that.
Sorry.
Forget
no,
that.
What?
That's okay.
What she was alluding to.
No,
I'm sorry,
she's not,
guys.
I mean, she was not alluding to it at all. She was saying that they've since, like, you know, had a rift in the relationship. So is the guy trying to want them to get back together?
No, Theo thought that was quite funny. So not.
I didn't think it was funny at first. I thought it was very serious. And then you guys acted. You didn't give her a chance to explain. Sorry, Sandy.
It's okay.
Carry on.
No. I actually didn't think that Theo thought it was funny. Her cousin thinks it's hilarious. Okay.
Oh.
So
okay.
Not to worry.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, I know. He's
okay,
laughing.
Good. Well, look, we're making him laugh then. I'm going to help a little bit.
That's male humor
for you.
Yeah. And, but he did talk about, like, he knows about that relationship with his mother. And he, you know, after you lose your child, it's so devastating because you don't know about it until you lose it. And then it's like people can fall apart and relationships can fall apart. And so he was really trying to say, take a lighter note on it, Sandy. And he's going to try to help repair it because he feels sad that the holidays and things like that you guys experience as children aren't happening right now. But he thinks he actually is laughing so hard. I feel embarrassed laughing because he's laughing because he does think Theo. Theo is like so hilarious. So really don't worry, Theo. He's cracking up still.
Okay.
And then he told Sandy, he says, use your sense of humor. You got to do that when you're going through such a situation like this. He also said that your mom was your sister in a past life. So she's really not your mom. She's more like a sister. That's why his mother was your mother. So there's a whole story behind that in which he wants to tell to you or talk to you about so you don't feel so sad and bad about all this stuff.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Thank you.
Yeah. He told me to tell you
that's another person I do not speak to.
Yeah, he told me. So he's like, Sandy's kind of alone with no mother figure because she's at odds with these two women that you have complete karmic history with. So unless you lighten up a little bit and take a little sense of humor about it and then kind of just sit back, ask the good Lord to guide you that one of these gals is going to call you and you will repair this relationship. There's also, he's also talking about this guy named Gil. Now, I talk about people that you don't know yet. Do you know who Gil is or Gilbert?
No.
Keep it in mind. It'll be important to you. It might be the last name of Gilbert also. And he also told me that he, now you have the best relationship coming to you, but you've had a little bit of a hard road here, Sandy. You know, you've lost your cousin. You're not talking to your mother figures. You know, you've had some odds and ends with your, you know, kind of relationships. And so it's not been that easy for you, but the good news, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And by in 15 and 16, things are going to get lightened up for you and you're going to get back on track. How about Jack? What do you get about Sandy here?
Do you see anything, you know, like, do you have any sort of concept of how he died, not without her telling you?
Like, I feel like he died suddenly. Somehow he doesn't have any closure with this, per se.
How about you, Jack?
I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not sure, but I'm like, I don't feel cancer. I'm feeling more like sudden death of some type. I'm getting something, my chest can't breathe.
Is that what you feel?
Hit his head or something. I don't know. It just feels, my head feels about weird.
Yeah. What is this gentleman's name, if you don't mind, Sandy?
Brian.
Oh.
His name. Okay, go ahead.
She got it.
That's him. 100% it's Brian. Go ahead.
Well, we know it's Brian now.
Yeah, we know
it's too late.
Yeah, 100%.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
We heard his name, yeah.
It's okay.
I just want to switch gears really quickly here. Sandy, I have a concern here about your work situation. I feel like if this is if you are currently not working, or I feel like there if you are not already currently employed, I feel like there's a change in your employment coming. I feel like there's a real emptiness and a sense of kind of being not only just sort of alone, but a little bit depressed and feeling a little bit powerless to sort of to move my life in the direction that I'm wanting it to move. But also with that, I have a sense of being concerned about another. And it would be as if I had a little toddler of my own, or I had a small child of my own, or I'm looking after someone else. There's a sense of either not being looked after or needing to look after someone else. So now this could already be, I could be receiving this feeling and this information because you've already established that no one was there for you. But I have the sense of being needing to be there for someone else and ill-equipped for providing that for someone else. I also feel like now, there's I'm getting the image of a gentleman here, and I'm using that term gentleman very, very loosely. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this vision here identifies itself as your father. And I have the sense that, you're free to answer this or say, I don't want to answer this. You're in charge of this conversation. So literally in my mind's eye, the way this vision is being set up, it's as if I'm standing over you, looking at you, and then I can look behind you. There's a door open, and I see this man kind of standing outside the door, and behind him are police lights flashing. Right, so there's a sense of either this man was literally not allowed in my house, despite his biological connection to me, or literally he has been to jail or is in and out of jail. I have a sense that this man gets pulled over for a simple traffic ticket and his inability to control his mouth, or he has a habitual DUI, but this guy goes to jail at the drop of a hat.
Okay, who's that?
About?
Who's that?
My dad.
I said this was my dad.
That's
my daddy.
Can you tell me?
Hey, Dad.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask where he is?
He's passed.
Yeah. So,
and I'm standing, it makes complete sense. He was not allowed in my house. He was he wasn't allowed in my life for most of it. And I'm standing outside the door, and I kind of feel on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but I want to focus on that feeling of not being permitted, because even though we like to think that everyone goes to heaven or when they die, they see things more clearly, that's just not always the case. And I feel like as I allow this energy to sort of inhabit me, I want to plead my case and go, you know, it really wasn't my fault. they wouldn't let me see you, you know.
Right.
And there's still this sense of this man was never accountable for his behavior, right? You know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean he didn't love you. He loved you in his own weird way.
In his own weird way.
Yeah, and even despite the fact that him not being with you was a good thing, there's a lingering feeling of not being good enough.
Yeah.
Right? Even though this situation had nothing to do with you. And
the
good thing is that despite as this man comes forward and wants to plead his case, and he's kind of being a little bit adolescent, you know, he had this sort of adolescent way about him he would want to be your friend more than your father, you see. And but even despite that lack of emotional maturity and the ability to be responsible for you, he's aware enough to know that, like, you know what, man, I effed up. And as I come to you, allowing him to sort of use me as to for this, I also want to joke about, and that's a whole other thing, but hold on, let me get clear what he's going here.
Where he's going with this one?
Yeah. Okay. So what I want to do here is, now there was a Christmas there was a Christmas, I have this memory of a Christmas. Do you recall, was there a Christmas where he was actually permitted to give you a gift, or he was actually like this allowed to come close or something this one particular day, and it just went awry, like everything went wrong, right? I want you to remember that, you know, because he's like, I feel like I tried. It wasn't, and then in the same breath, I want to blame your grandmother. I want to blame your mom. I want to blame your aunt. And it's like, but then I want to, oh, no. Well, it's not really their fault. But I want to say, I gave you this. I tried. And what it really is what I want to say is that I.
What did he give you?
I've never, from birth, I never accepted both of my parents.
Yeah.
And I just always pushed them away. And he came, he had a massive stroke when I was about 11, 10. And that was the last Christmas I spent with him. He came back to visit. And I just rejected him the whole time, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But did he try to give you a gift?
Oh, he, everything from love, attention, gifts, everything. He was trying to, but I don't know. I never understood my relationship with my parents. I didn't want anything to do with either one of them.
But right. You were being raised by your aunt.
Yes.
Okay. But so you need to reconnect with your aunt.
But what I want to focus on here is, as immature as this person was, and as irresponsible and arguably dangerous in the sense that he really didn't, it was better for you that he wasn't your actively taking care of you from day to day.
Sounds like it.
What I want so badly for you to know right now is it was my fault, right?
Okay.
And that residual feelings you have about, I literally feel like I'm looking up at him as a little girl, and it's like there's an open space between me and him emotionally, and I feel like I need to keep that there, and I'm not seeing clearly, but I have this overwhelming sense of not belonging and not feeling good enough, despite the fact that none of this was my fault, right? And if I could, as your father, energetically come to you as if it was Christmas, and my gift for you was to take all of that hurt and put it into a box, fold it up, and carry it out of your life, I want you to know that in this moment, this is why I'm coming here, as I would do anything to take this away, and that I do love you. I just had my own problems.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel too that there's he might have had a case of like ADD or ADHD, so it was never taken care of properly. He's really mad about somebody named Billy. Do you know who Billy was? He's like yelling at me.
That's him. That's his name, and that's what my brother's name is.
Okay, because I kept hearing Billy, God darn it, just say Billy. So he's got like a pretty strong personality. He was actually.
Oh yeah.
Quite creative, really creative. And the thing is that you have a problem with these parents because you remember inside your mother's womb that you heard them arguing or you were afraid of them. And so your fear for these two people came really before you even came into this world physically. And Billy was a kind of an angry person because he was never really had the tools to know how to handle his personality. So he probably self-medicated and act crazy, like Jack said. But ultimately, your dad is coming and your cousin's coming because they don't want you to suffer from their emotional, you know, things that happened to them, like your cousin's death, Brian. I did hear his name too, really clearly, so I'm glad that you asked because that just validated it for me. I don't know if I would have said it or not, but Billy was too strong and he's hanging around for sure, but not in a negative way. And he wants your brother to know also how much he wants to take responsibility and accountability for his actions. And he was hoping that you guys wouldn't repeat any patterns, but it doesn't look you are, Sandy. But they're both concerned about your Thanksgiving dinner. I know that sounds funny, but where's the stuffing and cranberries? Where are you going to sit at Thanksgiving dinner? They're very sad about that. Are you going to do something fun? Because they want you to do something fun.
No, since the family's been ripped apart, it's been very quiet.
Okay, well, I'm going to pray on it for you and ask all our listeners out there to put a good thought to you in any way they can, that you enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner, even if it goes with a friend to, a movie or something. But I feel like it's gonna something's gonna be repaired here through the divine. Yeah. And
I think that maybe you should take a step in that direction toward your aunt, because you know you. And I think that your cousin wants you to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come.
And I think your aunt misses you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a psychic, but just from what I've heard of the story, she lost her son. She raised you. And sometimes you just got to.
How did you know that?
You said that. Mm-hmm. Didn't you say that she raised you?
And, well, it was sort of.
Yeah. Misses you.
So I'm just imagining if I was that woman and I lost my son.
How did you know about my son?
Yours? Oh, you lost your son?
No. I heard you say my son. I thought you were talking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying. I was just saying the aunt. I was just saying, and someone who just heard the story. I have no psychic ability. I'm just saying.
I mentioned her son.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying. If I was the aunt who has lost her son, the Brian guy, and raised you, and now now I'm not even talking to you. I would mean so much if you just went and said, let's just start fresh.
Work out your differences.
I mean, maybe you could just take some like serious baby steps.
It's just lunch.
Yeah, it's hard for women to do that. They hold grudges or they're angry, but also you have a really tough past and you're working through some details. So maybe if you can listen to this information we've given you and know that there are ways to heal wounds. And if you were a sister in another lifetime, of course you're going to fight, okay? So just try to get over it, let go, learn how to accept that not everybody's perfect, and try to just, you know, move on, especially since she lost her son. And you're going to have to give the message that you connected and that you believe in that, and it might make her feel better. And doing good things for other people and taking that first step is such a healing process.
Right.
Yep. Even if you feel like she doesn't deserve you reaching out and her company, I bet it'll make you feel so much better.
Yeah. And then
it can be baby steps. Like you can say, we're never going to be what we were. But you could go to lunch or get a meal or exchange a text once every few weeks.
Family comes first.
And that could be like really healing to both of you, even if it's just a little something, you know?
Sandy, there's also, I see this, an African American gentleman coming into your life here. Are you aware of?
There always is, dude. Especially if you're a white girl.
On the commercial we were talking about, Theo's prison life.
No, I'm serious, though.
No,
they love it.
Especially in Georgia, if you're a little white girl, dude.
Are you aware of this guy coming into your sphere, trying to make a close contact with you, first as a friend, but romantically?
No, okay. I'm married.
Okay. I can only tell you what I'm seeing is that, you know, unless this is someone who's from your past, but there's don't be surprised if your husband brings around a friend or someone. Let me just say this without qualifying it. There's an African American gentleman coming into your life, and I feel like he actually will offer some surprising insight into your circumstances and be a real source of comfort. Not in a way that compromises your marriage per se, but I feel like he's got a real big heart, and I also feel like there's a strong. You would look at this guy and maybe be a little scared of him, or maybe like, what's up with this guy? But he actually is very, very religious behind closed doors. And I feel like in talking with him, you'd be surprised at the level of sort of insight and compassion he has. And I feel like he will be a very good friend. I just cut it like that, but I feel like this person is coming into your life, and it is a kind of evident that you're beginning to attract people that are going to offer you love and companionship and friendship in a
good
way
support.
That's really affirming.
Yeah. Maybe can connect, have similar experiences and help you with getting through your tragedy. Yeah.
Well, I think also that there's a Michael going to be around her, but that goes back to her husband. Is your husband trying to reinvent his career? Because I see him have opportunity that he doesn't even, like, maybe even know about. He's actually pretty smart. And he may be talking about the gentleman, the African-American guy. I mean, I could be wrong, but this is my take on it. That might help you in some kind of housing or enable to establish you in a better situation, which you don't have a horrible one. You just don't have a lot of family around. And Brian says to me, you don't know my mom. My mom's kind of stubborn, too.
So. Yes, thank you, Brian.
Okay. Well, let her listen to this podcast, okay? Yeah. Maybe we
and
can
that's
help.
What he said. But he said he's hoping that you guys get back together because regardless of Billy and everything that went on, he says there's lots and lots of good times. And does your husband like any kind of, like, motorcycles or, you know those kind of vehicles, four-wheel drives? Because I keep seeing you guys out and about in some kind of green area, but it's like, you know, kind of that kind of stuff.
It's a wonderful thing to know that you're going to be on this journey of really healing your family and moving forward in a wonderful new direction. And we're so grateful we had the opportunity to talk to you today.
Right, yeah. And we'll be sure to be in touch with you on Facebook.
But thank any you. Kind of four wheels, okay. Be careful with your son.
Yeah, be careful with those four wheels.
Amen. That goes to everyone in Georgia, actually, as well.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, Sandy. Take
Bye.
Care.
I just want to mention that Sandy's cousin, Brian, was killed in Iraq.
Well, that makes sense because I think we talked about, you know, you mentioned the blow to the head. I felt a concussion to the chest, and I believe this was associated with a vehicle.
Right. I wasn't sure if it was a vehicle or not. It wasn't a typical car accident, I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. When I felt I was blown here.
Like, she's pointing at her chest and her head.
Yeah. It was so sudden, though. He felt nothing. He didn't feel any pain. You know, it's just like, I don't know if anybody's had a traumatic accident where you've almost died. I have. And when the impact comes, you feel no pain. Okay. I felt no pain. Okay. But he actually transitioned to the other side, as far as I could see, very quickly.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I just want to thank Theo for coming in today, Theo Vaughn. And yes. He is on Twitter, at The Ovon. And
or Theo
also,
Vaughn.
Yeah, at Theo Vaughn.
It looks like The Ovon to me.
Yeah.
At TheoVaughn.com.
That's good.
TheOven.com. Baby. He's hot. Okay. And you might have remembered him on the cast of The Real World and Road Rules. And I don't because I never watched it, but I'm sorry. I know
it's okay. You didn't miss much. It's okay. You might also know me. I do stand-up comedy, and I host Deal With It on TBS Friday nights.
Now,
so you can check that out.
Is Deal With It the one? What is that?
That's Howie Mandel's show.
Yeah, that's the one
you guys were.
That's one Heather came and did.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It's really funny.
Yeah, we'd love to have a clairvoyant come. That might be very interesting.
I know. Well,
yeah.
I've got a whole
I'll
bunch
Twitter,
of them.
So I'll
we'll have to.
Touch,
yeah,
so.
You guys
that
need
would
to
be
do
a good
that.
One.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You could have like a whole room full of them
and
totally punk somebody.
I don't want that. Last thing I want. Yeah.
And also Heather McDonald at heathermcdonald.net or at Heather McDonald on Twitter.
And Instagram.
And she has the best Instagram.
Yeah, she really gives good Instagram.
Yeah, she does. And then also she was a regular collaborator with the Wayans brothers. So funny, we ran into
Marlon
the
Wayans.
Other night, and then I saw you on that movie with
White Chicks.
White Chicks. Yeah. Good. I was laughing my ass. I was sitting by myself drinking wine in my apartment after you left. I missed you so much. Turn on the TV, and there you were. Anyways. So, also, best-selling author for her book, You'll Never Blue Ball in This Town Again, and My Inappropriate
wow.
Life.
Thank you.
Yes, she's a brilliant writer, and also has been on Chelsea Lately as a full-time writer and producer, and will be moving on, has a show on Showtime.
Yeah,
which
you can watch it now, or Showtime On Demand. It's called Heather McDonald's. I don't mean to brag. It's my hour stand-up, and... Or just go to my website and go to Theo's website. We're always traveling, usually different places every weekend. So see if we're coming to a city near you. Come meet us. Say that you listened to this podcast.
Yes.
We freaked you out.
Yes. And also,
get a picture.
And thank you so much for coming. Theo's going to pop out. And I'm going to thank Jack Rourke and Rebecca Fearing. And be sure to check out the El Portal Theater .com for November 29th, which is coming up pretty quick. If you've downloaded this podcast, you'll probably have a day to find out about this here. And go ahead and call 866-811-4111. And we'll also be able to find her at RebeccaFearing.com and JackRourke.com. And what's coming up for you, Jack?
Well, I'm writing the follow-up. For my book, The Rational Psychic. So that's my full-time thing, and I'm seeing clients daily. And I got some couple media things in the works, but nothing we can really talk about yet.
Okay, so, and check out his book. It's so amazing. I'm getting into it now. It's awesome. And check us out at callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.